to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We are visiting with Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, one of the most brilliant national security practitioners I've had the pleasure of knowing and working with, who has been almost single-handedly. He's had some people holding his coat from time to time, including us and the Secure the Grid Coalition. We're proud to sponsor at the Center for Security Policy. But there are a few people besides himself, and of course the Congressional Electromagnetic Pulse Threat Commission, on which he has served for so long, who deserve more credit for helping raise the alarm about the threat we were discussing in the previous segment of electromagnetic pulse. Peter, I wanted to switch gears with you and come back to something I talked about with Hank earlier in the show, namely another part of the president's national security strategy, which I welcome very much as a necessary corrective to the kind of, well, I think of it as malign neglect, certainly of the past 8 years, with respect to our nuclear deterrent forces. The president has talked about recapitalizing those forces. Hank Cooper mentioned his belief that we need to modernize all three legs, as they're called, of the strategic triad, the bombers, the long-range land-based intercontinental ballistic missiles, and the submarine-launched missiles. I wanted to talk to you about another piece of this. You're a scientist. You have been deeply involved in the strategic force programs, including as a member of the Congressional Strategic Posture Commission. Do we need to be modernizing as well the nuclear weapons themselves? And if so, do we have to resume nuclear testing to ensure that they work?
I don't consider myself a scientist. You know, my background, my degrees are in history and international relations, but my real education, you know, was on nuclear strategy when I worked at the CIA. And I do have a certificate in nuclear weapons design because they sent me to school at the U.S. Nuclear Weapons Lab. So I've absorbed a lot from, well, you know, from working in the nuclear weapons community. But yes, I think it's far more important, you know, that when we engage in modernization, you know, that we actually upgrade the technology that's in our nuclear weapons so that we can match the new nuclear weapons that the Russians have certainly built and that the Chinese have probably built. And even the North Koreans are frankly ahead of us, since they almost certainly have the super EMP weapon. We don't have anything like that in our arsenal. The Russians, we know the most about because they have written a lot in their open source writings about having what they call third generation nuclear weapons. You know, this would include things like super EMP weapons, clean nuclear weapons that are pure fusion that can be used on a battlefield, mini neutron bombs that are tuned just create neutron radiation and would create no fallout on the battlefield. So in effect, what they've got, in addition to the classical city busting, silo busting, bunker busting kinds of weapons, they've got this generation of highly usable nuclear weapons that are much more powerful than conventional weapons, but could be used like conventional weapons on the battlefield and in aerospace. I mean, another one are nuclear weapons that are designed for producing X-rays, you know, for intercepting incoming warheads and taking out satellites in space and that sort of thing.
Tailored weapons for specific purposes. And unfortunately, Peter Pry, as you know, the Russians, the Chinese, these others surely have doctrines that call for the use of these weapons. It's not just simply something they envision as an unusable doomsday device, which is how a lot of people have thought about it in our country. Peter, let me ask you about one other piece of this, which almost always gets neglected. I think the president has alluded to it, but I want to make sure that we emphasize it as well. And that is the necessity, when you're thinking about modernizing our nuclear forces, we also have to do, as a matter of the first order, urgency, the modernization of our industrial base that supports our nuclear forces. Do we not?
Absolutely. It's been allowed to wither away. Pakistan produces more nuclear plutonium and uranium than the United States does right now. We don't even have the ability to make tritium anymore. You know, the fundamentals of what we used to make. I know you have to wrap this up, but before we go, I want to go back to the doctrine part. You know, the doctrine is arguably just as important as the weapons, perhaps even more so. I like to think of the Blitzkrieg strategy that the Nazi Germany came up with in World War II. It was this doctrine, their strategy, that made them an almost unstoppable force. You know, if you looked at their individual planes and tanks and their fast-moving infantry, the British and the French had comparable technologies, but they didn't know how to put them all together in such a war-winning way. And that's the kind of gap that we've got that's, I think, the most dangerous thing. And one of the things that also gave me hope about the president's national security strategy is the way he parsed the words. He talks about cyber attack, physical sabotage, and electromagnetic attack. That's exactly what the EMP Commission has been warning about. All three of these would be used in combination in the military doctrine that we have been analyzing from Russia and North Korea and Iran.
You have to understand the enemy and anticipate their moves in order to deter, not to defeat them. Peter, just back on the testing question very quickly, recognizing that you're not a scientist, how important is it that we have the capability to establish through old-fashioned empirical underground testing that, well, for that matter, the weapons we have in our arsenal today are still functional, let alone the modern designs we would like to see integrated?
There's a great debate among that on that. One of our EMP commissioners, Dr. John Foster, who designed most of the weapons in our current deterrent, argues that our failure to test over the past 25 years really undermines, in his view, the credibility of our deterrent, you know, because there's a question about, you know, how reliable these things are. The Clinton administration struck a political deal with the labs to agree to pay them generously to implement what he calls science-based stockpile stewardship, where we would not test the nuclear weapons. This is because they wanted to get us in the comprehensive test ban treaty. So every year, so-called nuclear weapons labs certify that our nuclear weapons are safe and reliable. And that has been enough to convince the parties, because there's this huge deference to nuclear weapons labs. But there isn't a consensus, and the best scientist I know of, and our best nuclear weapons designer that I know of, is very concerned about whether those weapons would actually work, since they haven't been tested in so long. And we know that there's compelling evidence that the Russians cheated. They supposedly have not been testing too, but we know that they have been conducting low-level tests. Some of them could have been decoupled, and they could be of much higher yields.
Which would have been hugely critical to their successful modernization of their entire arsenal. Go ahead, Peter.
I would also point out that our labs, our so-called nuclear weapons labs, and I call them that because they have not been working on nuclear weapons for 25 years. And for a long time, there was a law called Spratt-Firth that had been rescinded, but they still adhere to it, you know, where it was illegal for our own national nuclear weapons labs to even think about nuclear weapons of new design, the way the Chinese and the Russians and the North Koreans are developing them. And the blasts are still adhering to that.
Peter, we are hard out of time, and I had wanted to get beyond all of this to talk with you about arms control and the degree to which it seems not to be operating in terms of containing the threat from Russia, to say nothing of China, which, of course, is not party to these arms control deals with us. The nuclear weapons laboratories, I guess, are still doing bits and pieces of nuclear work, but they're not in it as they should be. But to the extent that we're about to see massive breakouts, perhaps, of arms control treaties like the New START treaty by the Russians, to say nothing of the INF treaty, we really need to be about the business of retooling, rebuilding, and modernizing our forces, soup to nuts, as well as the industrial capacity to support them. I thank you, my friend, for your great work on the EMP Commission, the Strategic Posture Commission, in the Congress, at the CIA, and so much more, as well as, of course, your service with us in the Secure the Grid Coalition. I look forward to talking with you often and certainly early in 2018. In the meantime, Merry Christmas to you, Peter. Godspeed. I hope we'll talk with the rest of you again on Monday, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.